This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have on the program today Dr. Medford Evans. Dr. Evans has been a member of the Citizens Council staff for the past 2 years. He received his Ph.D. from Yale University, was a professor of English and history at a number of southern colleges. During World War II, served as chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission. Dr. Evans, during recent weeks, you've taken on a somewhat new assignment, have you not?
Yes, Dick, I have been attempting to be of some assistance in the private school movement, which, as you know, has come to be a prominent feature of the educational scene in this country these days.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have an opportunity to discuss this matter with you at some length on today's program. Why has there been this increased interest in private schools in recent years, Dr. Evans?
There are two factors here. One is a relatively long-range thing, and the other is more abrupt. The long-range thing is a steadily growing discontent with the level of achievement of our vast system of government schools that we have in this country. As you know, the United States has an unparalleled system of schools at every level. We have spent far more money than any other nation ever dreamed of spending on our educational system. This has, of course, been because the importance of education has always been recognized in the United States, which is a wonderful feature. The sad thing is, however, that sometimes people believe that they can get an education merely by spending money on it. Now, of course, you can spend money and not necessarily get what you pay for. And recently, I would say quite consciously for the past 10 years, there has been a volume of critical literature represented by such a book as The Educational Wastelands of Professor Arthur Bester of the University of Illinois, pointing out that the schools in general, what are often called the public schools, but which some people prefer to call government schools since they no longer always represent the true interest of the public, that these schools increasingly in many areas fail to impart the basic skills, and they develop a top-heavy bureaucratic administrative system which often makes of the teachers and even of the pupils and even of the parents the pawns of ideological developments, so that sometimes it seems that a school official may be more of a politician than an educator. Now, that is the long-range trend. It has, of course, been enormously increased. The tempo has been stepped up, the effect heightened by the forced integration movement. And the schools have been used as an experimental laboratory for the forced mixing of the races, in spite of the fact that this invariably hurts the educational standards that already exist. And where those educational standards may not have been what they should be to begin with, the integration thing is rather the coup de grace. Many people, therefore, have turned away from these government schools in the hope of finding a better education, and often in the hope of preserving segregated education.
Has the growth of private schools been nationwide, Medford, or has it been confined to one rather specific particular part of the country?
It has been nationwide. Of course, historically, the private school movement has always, there have always been more private schools in the eastern part of the United States than in the west. In New England, in Virginia, in Carolinas and Tennessee and Georgia and Pennsylvania, all of these states, you will find many, many private schools, and there always have been. Now, even there, this has stepped up a great deal in recent years, and in addition, areas of the country which used to avoid private schools are now beginning to see them. I have recently seen a book called Independent School Operation, edited by William Johnson and published by Van Nostrand, which points out that between the years 1940 and 56, that private school enrollment increased four times as fast as public school enrollment.
That's nationwide. This is taking the 16-year period from 1940 to 1956. So obviously the forced integration drive, which really got underway in 1954, had not had too great an impact on these figures.
Is on top of that, yes, indeed.
So this means that the dissatisfaction with the existing school systems, the free schools, goes beyond opposition to racial integration then.
Oh, absolutely.
You mentioned a moment ago a distinction that some people are making using the term government schools now in lieu of the more familiar expression public schools. Has the concept of public schools changed so much in the past few years that they deserve now to be called by something different? Should they be called government schools now then?
I think it would be helpful. Of course, this is a question of semantics here. The term public school can be used in a variety of ways. As you may know, in England, the so-called public schools are very private indeed. They include such places as Eton and Harrow and Winchester. And there you have to enter your grandchildren before they're born in order to have a hope of getting them in. And that's called a public school in England. Now, in this country, we have called the state-supported, locally controlled schools of this nation public schools. Some people have suggested, and I think that the suggestion is helpful, that it would be more descriptive now when the bureaucracy has so completely taken over the minute operations of these schools, and especially since the federal courts now set themselves up to dictate matters of enrollment and even how the pupils should be treated, and to point out that these schools have become in effect an arm of government, and the public in the sense of the ordinary mass of the population have little or no voice in the policies of the school, and indeed the schools are operated in many areas where integration is forced, they are operated in direct contradiction of the known desires of the public. And therefore, I think that this suggestion is helpful because it brings out an alarming state of affairs, which unfortunately is the way things are these days.
The traditional American public school, in other words, which consisted of a group of local citizens, public-spirited men who would go together and form a local school board, hire a principal and some teachers, and erect a building, and levy taxes to secure support for the school, and by and large be responsive to the wishes of the patrons of that school, the parents of the children who were attending it in that local community. This concept is gone by the boards now?
Well, it has been displaced by the idea of the professional administrator. Let's face it, this is to a considerable degree the fault of the public itself. It is natural to think, well, why don't we get a professional to do this work for us? Now, as a matter of fact, the professionals, though, have formed their own connections with the lawmakers of the various states, so that today the control of educational systems is dictated by a set of laws and regulations which give the what are sometimes called the professional educationists full operational control over the selection of personnel, over curriculum making, over every sort of thing, so that there is an in-group, a professionalized in-group that talks a language that the public doesn't even understand. And this has certainly taken the control away from any local school board or anything like that.
Dr. Evans, I know that your assignment as a consultant on this matter of private schools indicates that the citizens' councils are taking an immediate interest in the private school movement in Mississippi. I wonder if you could tell us why this interest.
Well, here the interest is, of course, brought to a crisis by the recent court orders compelling the first desegregation of public schools in the state of Mississippi. The legislature of the state responded to this crisis by passing a law that gave tuition grants to parents who wished to put their children in private schools, it being assumed that private schools would be established that would remain segregated, and that therefore the private school movement would help maintain segregation in Mississippi as well as help raise educational standards. Now, as you know, the people of Mississippi have upheld the tradition of racial integrity with more vigor and consistency than perhaps any other state. And therefore, they are now turning to private schools as an additional method of upholding the concept of racial integrity.
You mentioned tuition grants. Are church-related schools covered by these tuition grants?
The law says that a pupil must attend a non-sectarian school in order to be eligible for the tuition grant.
I see. I wanted to clear up that point.
Right.
Were private schools being developed in Mississippi before any court integration orders had come about?
Yes, there were. In the city of Jackson, we've had a very successful private school, the Jackson Academy. I mention it because it's one of the more recent ones and is a non-sectarian school. This was started actually for the purpose that I mentioned a while ago, to give pupils who had not been reached properly in the public system a chance to develop their skills, and it's been very successful. And the school has grown for that reason.
So that, in other words, the private school movement, particularly as related to events here in Mississippi, is twofold. First, a desire on the part of the parents to maintain freedom of choice as to the type of school their children shall attend and with whom their children shall attend
school.
That's
right, the racial associations.
And secondly, the type of education their children will receive in the schools.
That is right, the development of their learning skills.
Dr. Evans, thank you very much for being with us today. Our time has gone by all too quickly. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Medford Evans, member of the Citizens Council staff, currently serving as a special consultant on private schools. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.